بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the classes of the book reading of Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1. Inshallah, we'll be continuing from page 116. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites a large group to Islam at Mina. Hazrat Mudrik radiallahu anhu narrates that when he performed Hajj with his father and they found themselves amongst a large group of people, he asked his father, "What is this gathering about?" His father replied, "They have gathered for that irreligious man." When Hazrat Mudrik Allahu an saw who his father was referring to, he noticed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing there, telling the people, "O people, say La ilaha illallah, and you will be successful." Hazrat Harith bin Harith Ghamidi radiallahu an narrates that he asked his father at Mina, "What is this gathering about?" His father replied, "They have gathered for that irreligious man." When Hazrat Harith radiallahu anh stretched his neck to see who his father was referring to, he noticed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing there, calling to the people to accept the oneness of Allah, but they rejected his message. Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu reports that he performed Hajj during the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still calling people to accept Islam and his companions were being tortured. He says that he happened to stop by Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who was then not yet a Muslim, as he was busy torturing a slave girl of the Banu Amir bin Mu'ammil. Thereafter, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu stopped by Hazrat Zinira radiallahu anhu and started torturing her as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invites the Banu Shayban to Islam. Hazrat Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says, when Allah commanded his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to present himself to the Arab tribes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left for Mina with me and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When we reached a gathering of Arabs, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would approach them first and greet them. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was always one to take the initiative and was extremely proficient in his knowledge of each Arab tribe's lineage. He asked the people, "Where are you people from?" They replied, "From the Rabia tribe." He then asked, "From which family of the Rabia tribe?" Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu then continues the lengthy narration until he reached the words, "We then reached a gathering filled with an air of respect, where there sat several elders of high status and eminence. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was always one to take the initiative, so he approached them and greeted them. When he asked them where they came from, they replied that they were from the Banu Shayban bin Thalaba tribe. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, May my parents be sacrificed for you. There are none more respectable in their tribe than these men. Among them were Mafruq bin Amir, Hani bin Kabisa, Muthana bin Haritha, and Noman bin Sharik. The closest to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu from them was Mafruq bin Amr, who was also the most eloquent speaker from among the tribe. He wore the locks of hair that fell on his chest and he sat closest to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Continuing with the narration, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked Mafruq, "How large are your numbers?" Mafruq replied, We are certainly more than 1,000, and 1,000 cannot be defeated for want of numbers. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu father asked, "What authority do you wield?" "We have to work very hard, but such is the lot of every nation," he responded. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu posed a further question, saying, "What are the battles like between yourselves and your enemies?" Mafruq said, "We are most angered when we fight, and we fight fiercest when we are angered. We love war so much that we prefer pedigreed fighting horses to children and weapons, to milk-yielding camels. All help is from Allah, who sometimes grants victory to us and sometimes allows others to be victorious over us. Are you not from the Quraysh?" they asked. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "What if you were told that the Quraysh have the Rasul of Allah and that this is him?" Mafruq said, "The news has already reached us that he claims to be Allah's Rasul." Mafruq then turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "To what are you calling, O brother of the Quraysh?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stepped forward and sat down. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up and shaded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his clothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I call you to testify that there is none worthy of worship but the one Allah, and to testify that I am the Rasul of Allah. I'm also asking you to grant me asylum, to protect me, and to assist me so that I may convey the message which Allah has commanded me to pass on, because the Quraysh have joined forces against the deen of Allah. They have rejected his Rasul, have satisfied themselves with the falsehood instead of the truth. But Allah is independent, worthy of all praise." To this, Mafruq asked further, "What else are you calling us towards, O brother of the Quraysh?" To this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the following verses of the Quran, translation of which is, "Draw closer, I shall recite to you the things that your Rabb has forbidden for you. These are that you do not ascribe any partner to him, and that you be kind towards your parents. Allah has also commanded that you do not kill or abort your children for fear of poverty, fearing that you will become poor by providing for them. We provide for you and for them as well, even though you may be poor, and Allah commands that you do not draw near to immoral acts that may be open and secret. And Allah commands further that you do not murder a soul which Allah has forbidden, except with a right that permits you to kill him. Those who may be lawfully executed are married adulterers, murderers, and male murtadeen. These are the things which Allah has empathetically commanded you so that you may understand, obey, and approach, use, or invest the wealth of the orphan who is in your care only in a favorable, fair, profitable manner until he reaches maturity. And in addition to all these commands, give full measure and weight in fairness when you trade with people. We do not place on a soul responsibility unless it is within its capability. Adopt justice when you speak. Pass judgment, even though it be your relative for whom or against whom you judge. And fulfill the pledge of Allah to worship him alone. These are the things which Allah has solemnly commanded you so that you may take heed. And tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this obeying all these commands is indeed my straight path. Follow it, do not follow other path, for they will deviate you from Allah's path, from Islam. These are the things which Allah has solemnly commanded you so that you may adopt taqwa. So when Mafruq asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "What are you promising us? What are you giving us?" So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited this verse from Surah An'am, all the regulations of Islam, the kindness, to be fair, to be just, etc. Let's read on. Impressed by this, Mafruq further asked, "What else do you call us towards? I swear by Allah that this is not the speech of those on earth, because if it were, we would have definitely recognized it." Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the following verse of the Quran. the translation of which is, verily, Allah instructs people to carry out justice, ihsan, do things well as doing everything with the consciousness that Allah is watching, and giving and give charity to relatives. And Allah forbids immoral behavior, evil and oppression. He advises you so that you may take heed and thereby save ourselves from ruin and Jahannam. Mafruq exclaimed, O Quraysh, I swear by Allah that you call towards the best of character and the most beautiful actions. Without doubt, any nation that rejects you and supports others against you are certain liars. We have to understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were living in a time where there was dishonesty. They were living in a time where there was no justice. It was the strongest clan wins. If you didn't have any strong clan and you are totally weak, you would have no justice. You would be trodden upon. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming with, this was about equality, it was about justice, it was about rights. So this also intrigued people that they had never heard something like this, which was so just. So this person was also intrigued by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's da'wat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was calling these people towards Islam, this person and this tribe, they were intrigued. Let's read further. Mafruq then decided to include Hani bin Kabisa in the conversation. He therefore introduced Hani by saying, this is Hani bin Kabisa. He is our elder and in charge of our religious affairs. Thereafter, Hani addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, O my Qurayshi brother, I have heard what you have to say and accept every word of it. However, I feel that if we forsake our religion to follow yours, it would be a mistake and would reflect upon the weakness of our understanding and lack of contemplation over the matter. The reason for this is that this is only our first meeting with each other, which may not even be the last, and no one knows what the future holds. Mistakes often occur because of haste. In addition to this, we have people at home who would dislike that we enter into an agreement without consulting them. Therefore, you should return and we shall return. Thereafter, you contemplate over your matter and we shall contemplate over our matters. Hani then wished to include Muthanna bin Haritha into the conversation. He therefore introduced him saying, this is Muthanna bin Haritha. He is our elder and in charge of our military affairs. Addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muthanna said, O Qurayshi brother, I have listened to what you have said. I like what you said, for it appealed to me very much. However, my reply to you will be the same reply that Hani bin Kabisa has given. We find ourselves between the borders of two countries. The one is Yamama and the other is Samawa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, on the borders of for which two countries you are situated. He replied, on one side, and we have the land, the high hills and mountains of the Arabs, while on the other side we have the land of the Persians and the rivers of the Kisra. The Kisra has permitted us to live there on condition that we do not start anything new and do not support any person who starts a new movement. The possibility is great that the Persian kings would not like that which you are calling us towards, whereas the custom in the land of the Arabs is to forgive those who will have erred and to accept their excuse. The custom of the land of the Persians is that people who make mistakes are not forgiven, nor are their excuses accepted. Therefore, if you wish that we take you back to our land and assist you against the Arabs, we can accept this responsibility. However, we cannot bear the responsibility of opposing the Persians. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, your reply has not been an evil one because you have spoken frankly. However, the only people who can establish the deen of Allah are those who protect it from every angle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then stood up, taking the hand of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu narrates further, when he says that the three of them then proceeded to the Aus and Khazraj tribes and left them only after they had pledged their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Speaking about the Aus and Khazraj tribes, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says they were extremely truthful and extremely preservant people. May Allah be pleased with them, with all of them. Ameen. If we go over the answers again, if we see the answer of the second person that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second person that he met from that tribe, Hani bin Qabisa. This person, he was more worried about what people would think. Today, a lot of traditions have come into our deen, whether it's to do with our weddings, whether it's to do with certain nights of great nights in Islam, whether it's to do in Ramzan, certain traditions have entered our religion. And when we learn that, look, these traditions, they are not according to the Sunnah, they are not according to Islam, and we are doing them as if they are Islam, this in itself is an innovation, it is a bid'ah. What stops us from abandoning those practices is the fact that we worry about what people will think. Just as this person, he worried that what will people think of me? That if we accept Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will people think of us? Similarly, in that same manner, that all these traditions, our past traditions and traditions of different countries that have entered Islam, you know, sometimes it may be in the wedding, sometimes it's during Ramadan, sometimes it's during Laylatul Qadr, sometimes it's during Shaban. Sometimes those traditions are there, what we practice when we go to Umrah. Sometimes these traditions are just on general occasions. Maybe on the death of someone, maybe on someone's birthday. So these traditions have now come into our deen, which are not according to Islam. And when we learn the truth about them, the one thing that stops us from practicing on Islam is the fact that we worry about what is everyone else going to think of us. So instead, we carry on drowning ourselves in those sins, thinking that we are doing something for Islam, we are doing something for good deeds, whereas we are doing the total opposite. We have to only worry about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of us. Yes, we be considerate with people, we be understanding with people, also when we are giving da'wah, when we are explaining. But when it comes to right and wrong, we have to establish that we have to abandon the wrong. In these situations, we have no intention of abandoning the wrong. We have to make the intention and we have to do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, we accept that this is a mistake, this is an error, these are wrong things that are happening. We have no power to stop them. Ya Allah, help us open the doors. And when we make this intention and when we take these steps to change our lives, when we take these steps to move away from the sins that we are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors. But when we give up and think, that's it, there's nothing we can do about this, that there's nothing we can do about this, and we just accept everything as it is coming with no intention of stopping, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not open the doors for us. And because we never made any effort for it, we will be punished for this. We will be questioned about this. Whereas when we are making the effort and we are making intentions to stop and we are making that effort, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors for this. And if there were some errors on our part, there's hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for our weaknesses. We have to have that remorse, that guilt for what we are doing. And we have to make intention to stop it and make the effort to stop it. And inshallah, one day we will stop those practices that are against Islam. In the second response, the person, he was more worried about politics. And this is similar to what is happening in Gaza today. That we have so many Muslim countries around Gaza, but they're all contemplating the same thing, that if we attack, then what will happen? Then this country will come against us. If we support the Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, then these people will come against us. Then these people will come against us. Then these people will come against us. We will lose business with this country. We will lose business with this country. This is what these Muslim countries, they have been drowned in these thoughts and worries of dunya. We ourselves, we have to remove ourselves from these worries and thoughts. We have to remove ourselves from these worries and thoughts, and we have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from such a position and such a situation where we are in a situation that no matter what decision we make, we will be in problem. And if we ever do land ourselves in such a situation, remember, success is only in that decision which goes according to Islam. That decision that goes according to Islam. Let's carry on reading, inshallah. Another narration states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, "The only people who can establish the deen of Allah are those who protect it from every angle." Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam added, "Tell me, if after a short while Allah grants you the Persians' land and their wealth and takes their women makes their women your wives, will you then not be prepared to glorify him and proclaim his purity?" To this, Noman bin Shariq said, "You then have our support, O brother of Quraysh." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then recited the verse, translation of which is, "O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have certainly sent you as a witness, a carrier of good news to the mu'mineen that they will enjoy Jannah, a warner to the kuffar that they will suffer the punishment of Jahannam if they do not accept Iman, and as a caller to Allah by his command, and as a illuminating lantern." Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then stood up, taking the hand of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He turned to us and said, "O Ali, how excellent are the manners of the Arabs, even during the time of ignorance, how noble are they. It is because of this they protect each other in the life of this world." The three of them then proceeded to the Aus and Khazraj tribes and left them only after they had pledged their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, "They, the Aus and Khazraj tribes, were extremely truthful and extremely preservant people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was happy that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu possessed so much knowledge about the lineage of the Arabs. Not much time had elapsed afterwards when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to his companions and said, "Praise Allah abundantly, because today the Banu Rabia, amongst whom were the Banu Shayban tribe, have defeated the Persians. They have killed the Persian leaders and annihilated their enemies. Allah has assisted them because of me." Another narration explains this further by stating that when the soldiers of the Banu Rabia met the Persian army at a place called Kurekir, which was close to the Euphrates River, they used the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as their code word, because of which Allah granted them victory. After this battle, the Banu Rabia entered the fold of Islam. Subhanallah. We see the tawajjuh of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that from his tawajjuh, from his attention that he gave them, and from their truthfulness to him and their promise to him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the victory over the Persians. And also we learn from this the effort of deen that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made, that he went from tribe to tribe. And how did he go? He didn't just go there not knowing who they are, not knowing what to say, not knowing how to converse with them. He had someone with him who was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who knew everything about the people there. He knew everything about the tribes. Similarly, when we go to give dawah to someone, we should do our research. If they are someone who is in computer programming, we should learn something about them. So when we go, we can create that connection with them so we can have a conversation with them. When we find someone, we are going to visit him, he's into this line of work, we should learn something a little bit about him, because even then, that person, he's intrigued by us. that, oh, this person cares for me, he's coming here to see me, but he has learned, he has took out time to learn something about me so he can connect with me. So this is why, look, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went, he had Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum with him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum knew the local tribes. So we should also make this effort. And if we see in the work of Dawah and Tabligh, yani Tablighi Jamaat, they have the same thing when they are going out to call people. They will have one person who is known as the Muqim. He's the local brother who may have some recollection or some knowledge of who is who. So when they go out to talk, they have a familiar face, someone who is familiar with them. From this, we are learning the work of Dawah. How to call people, how to give dawah. And from all of this, we learn that when we are striving in our lives, that things do not come easy. Whether it's business, it might be we are doing business, and we are striving for 5 years, for 10 years, doing the effort of our business. And we are doing it according to the teachings of Islam. And we don't see the benefit, or we don't see that, you know, there's no growth. Is not growing, but we should not lose hope. As long as we are doing it in the method of Islam, then we have been rewarded by doing the business. And by the people, our family is benefiting. We have a roof over our head. Alhamdulillah, this is a great benefit. The fact that we are doing it according to the teachings of Islam is rewarding for us. This is what we should look at, that Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me rozi. He is giving me sustenance through my own efforts. But we shouldn't let this lack of growth deter us to utilize other methods which are haram. Whether it's in business, whether it's in our homes, regardless in whatever activity we are doing, we have to ensure that we turn back to the method of Islam. What Islam allows us, we should do. And what is not allowed in Islam, what comes under haram, we should abandon. Regardless of how long that effort may take place. Because we have to understand, this life is a test. When we live this, we have to think that this life will end one day. This life will end one day. All this that is happening around us in the Akhirah will not matter, because of the Akhirah, or the hereafter, is everlasting. It's forever. If something happens in this world, oh, we got sick, Alhamdulillah. In every situation, we should thank Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to thank Him. In every situation that happens to us, we should thank Allah. We should understand that this world is just a transition. So we have to treat it like a transition. Don't get so occupied and worried about everything that's going around us that we forget to concentrate on our deen, that we forget to concentrate on our Islam, that we forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we have become so occupied in everything and we forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have failed. Then we have failed. Today when we see other people, we always think they have a better life. When we see other people, maybe they have money, maybe they have good cars, whatever it may be, we think that they have a better life. No, that person maybe has a better life than us. Through his life he is able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not know when the next meal was coming from, so they would do shukr for every meal they get. Today, we don't worry about our next meal. So we are not doing dua, Ya Allah, give us our dinner. Why? Because we know we have dinner in the fridge. We know we have dinner in the freezer. We know we can come out and we can buy something to eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wealth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this little wealth, we don't ask, we fail to ask, Ya Allah, please give us our night's food. And slowly these things are failing us to do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we don't realize how difficult it was to get this food. And as technology is increasing, and everything is becoming more and more easier. We are doing less and less shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not realizing this. We do not realize that as technology is increasing, as living life is becoming easier, we are doing less shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we are living in our lives in a race. We are living life in a race. We work, we pay bills, we work, we pay bills, we work. We are working to pay the bills, we are working to pay the bills. No time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as Ramadan is coming, and alhamdulillah, we have a program every Sundays also on X and also on Telegram. And alhamdulillah, on Sundays, our program is to do with Ramadan, that how to prepare ourselves for Ramadan. Imagine Ramadan, this is like in your workplace, you have a time where you are able to do to get paid double or triple or quadruple, and you can work as many hours as you want. How would we prepare for that the month before? How will we? We will prepare we have to learn to sleep less hours and stay awake more. That's what we would do to preparing for that job. Double pay, triple pay. I'm going to work 20 hours a day. I'm going to work 18 hours a day and sleep 6 hours. So our preparation now for Ramadan will not be the same like that. But our preparation should be doing more zikr, reading more Quran. We have to strive and we have to prepare. So in as soon as Ramadan starts and shaitan is locked up, we are already able to start taking full benefit of the extra rewards that we are getting. And remember that when these rewards multiply, it's not only rewards that we are receiving, it's the nur that descends. And when this nur that descends, this is we have this awe feeling. This, you know, it's a different feeling in Ramadan. This is why in Ramadan that we feel different. It's not only because shaitan is locked up. It's not only because that shaitan is locked up. It's because the rewards are multiplied. When the rewards are multiplied, that nur that is descending into heart is different. That nur that is descending into the heart is different. And outside Ramadan is very hard to get that feeling. Why? Because one, shaitan is there and he's constantly making us do sin, constantly making us kill off the nur that we are receiving, number one. And number two, also, that we are not receiving that amount of nur because that amount of rewards is not there. This is why we have the different feeling inside Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. This is why we will see many mashaykh, they will not leave their homes unless they need to. Why? Because they want to have this feeling. They don't want the sin to break the nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand what has been taught today, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to take full benefit of Ramadan. Ramadan is coming within 30 days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to prepare for Ramadan. May He give us the ability to prepare ourselves for Ramadan so that when Ramadan starts, we read more Quran, we do more zikr, we do more istighfar, we do more tawbah. And also that we give dawah to people. We talk about Islam with people. We tell people about the benefits of fasting, about the benefits of reading Quran. That behind every letter is 10 rewards. So if we read 5 letters, that's 50 rewards. And in Ramadan, it is multiplied further. Subhanallah. This is a form of dawah. And then when that person, he acts upon what we have told him, then we are getting more rewards. And if he acts upon it in Ramadan, imagine how many rewards we are getting. Just like a businessman that he thinks this is the pyramid. This is a pyramid. You tell one person, he tells another person, he tells another person. And now your rewards have just kept on increasing and increasing. This is the benefit of the work of dawah, subhanAllah. From the work of dawah, we are receiving so many rewards into our good deeds. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all this ability. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to invite other people towards doing good deeds. Jazakallahu khair wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.